This is Rick Gentry, and I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm excited to introduce to you today Pastor Richard Adarosa, and he's from Florida. We're excited about his message today. Here's Pastor Richard.
Hello, I'm Rich Adarosa, Senior Pastor, Church of the Harvest, located in beautiful Pahokee, Florida, right on the Lake Okeechobee. I want to welcome you to today's broadcast. You know, I've had the opportunity to be in the ministry for more than 30 years, and I have a heart for the evangelist, for the equipping of the saints, doing the work of the ministry, and we're here to share with you from the Word of God. I wanted to spend a moment just telling you a little bit more about our ministry in Pahokee. Basically, we're a church with a heart for outreach, and we're involved in the Glades and the surrounding areas. We have a food pantry. We have a Christian school. We have services twice a week. We have midweek Bible studies that take place outside of the church walls and take place in the homes of members of our church. And we're just excited, and we're on fire for God, and we want to see His will accomplished in the earth. So we thank you for joining us today. And I want to begin in 1 Kings chapter 17, and I want to share with you today that God is setting you up for a miracle. God is setting you up for a miracle. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying," talking about Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a woman there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And she was going to get it. He called to her and said, "Oh, by the way, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said to him, "As the Lord God lives, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you've said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now, as we read that verse of scripture, you need to understand that God is doing things all over the place in your life, thousands of things. But you may be aware of only one or two of them. And over again, the disciples of Jesus missed what he was doing right in front of them. They missed the point of the miracles, and they missed the lessons. Doesn't it give us hope for our own lack of clarity today? You know, in this particular scripture, the woman's obedience to the word of the prophet, or the word of the Lord, set her up for a miracle, just like we are being set up for miracles every day in our lives as we put God's word first and do obey the words of the Lord. You know, the Bible says that we're blessed in the doing of the word. It's not enough, saints, just to hear the word. We've got to be doers of the word. You know, I find it very interesting that perhaps in this particular place where this woman and her son lived, there may have been other widows. There could have been some other people there. But she was in the right place. She was at the right time. The man of God called unto her, and she could have just said, "Well, who does he think he is? After all, I don't have hardly anything." And she did let him know that that's all she had, and that if she gave it to him, that they wouldn't have anything to eat. But God gave his word to her, just like God gives his promise to us, that he will bring provision to each and every one of us. In Psalm chapter 37 and verse 25, the scripture says, "I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." Now, in the Old Testament, you were considered righteous if you believed God and acted in faith toward God. God accounted it unto them for righteousness. Of course, Jesus hadn't brought his precious blood into the Holy of Holies of heaven and made atonement for the sin of man yet, but God took it on them and kind of gave them a little bit of credit towards that. And of course, when Jesus preached to the captives, he was preaching to the people in Abraham's bosom so that they could hear the gospel message, receive Jesus, and not have to stay in paradise, but move right on to heaven. You know, paradise, I'm sure, is fine, but heaven's a whole lot better. Hallelujah. And so that's where we're going. You see, God provides differently than we expect. I believe a big part of receiving from God, especially when it has to do with miracles, is not just hearing the word, but expecting God to do something that you can't do yourself. Expectancy is extremely important when it comes to the miraculous taking place in your life. God will definitely provide differently than we think. You know, consider the fact that there's two sides to every miracle. There's the one performing it and the one receiving it. And God brings blessings to both. The miracle that took place with this particular woman at Zarephath was a blessing to Elijah because he had something to eat. But at the same time, it was a blessing to the woman because God brought provision for them during this time of very little food. I wonder if she knew that this was the prophet that spoke the no rain into existence. Perhaps if she was focused just on what she knew, she might have missed the miracle by saying, I'm not giving you anything. After all, you're the one that proclaimed the drought. But thank God her ear was focused to hearing the word of God and not her circumstances and not the things that perhaps could have invaded her thought life at that time. I want to share another example. Because the Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And if we turn now to the book of Matthew chapter 17, I'm reading verses 24 to 27. I'd love for you to follow along, but if you're driving or if you don't have a Bible handy, that's okay because I'm going to be reading it. Matthew chapter 17. When they had come to Capernaum, verse 24, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And he said, Yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, What do you think, Simon? From who do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? And Peter said to him, From strangers. Jesus said to him, Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. You see, the very thing that Peter was most familiar with was what God used to work the miracle. What was different about this fishing trip is that God had spoken to him, and he was acting on the word of God. I find it very interesting that Jesus didn't tell him to cast down his net. That's not how he was going to do it. Jesus was very specific. And sometimes God will be very specific to you. In fact, I believe all the time, God is very specific on his instructions to receive your miracle. Remember, the miracle requires the giver and the receiver. It's not enough to just receive something, it has to be given. And we know that God is willing to do the miraculous for you and the miraculous for me. And so he went, he cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. In other words, this wasn't going to be a trial and error deal. This wasn't going to be, hey, let's just keep an eye and maybe the 30th fish, one of them, sooner or later, that fish is going to get there. No, it was the first fish. Can you imagine if Jesus had told him it's going to be the 150th fish? Just like Simon, not Simon rather, but Naaman the leper. It was on the seventh time that when he rose up, his leprosy was cleansed. You see, God's very specific. It was seven times around the wall at Jericho before they would shout and the walls would come down. See, God's very specific about these things. This was some kind of fishing trip, I can imagine. And I would think that Peter might have thought, well, wow, how could this be? Now, there's lots of different lessons that we can use from this and probably use it in order to explain or minister other types of things. But a lot of times we're expecting God to do the miraculous out somewhere in Timbuktu. Well, I just know that if I go so-and-so or see so-and-so or wait on something or drive over here or fly over there, that God's going to do it. But God's not limited to that to work the miracle in your life. And very often we overlook the miracles that God wants to do because we simply don't believe that he's going to do the miracles for us in our everyday life, in our everyday profession. Let me ask this question of you this day. Are you a person that needs a miracle? Are you willing to share the word and to read it and to speak it and allow the Spirit of God by the Holy Spirit to speak to you about that word that you've heard? It's very amazing how you can preach the word of God and to a group of people, and everyone got something different out of the sermon. And you'd just be sure that they'd all just get that one thing, but somebody will come up with something and you thought, I never said that. Well, it could be that you never said it, but the Holy Ghost did. And the Holy Ghost took that word and amplified it or brought to their remembrance a particular thing in their lives. And all of a sudden, God's beginning to do wonderful things. I'm convinced that we make it so hard to receive from the Lord. We really do. We just really make it so hard. Well, I want to share with you another testimony from the book of Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. This is the girl who was restored to life. And as you remember also, there was the woman that was healed from the issue of blood. There's so much in here. We'll do our best to get through it on today's broadcast. Beginning in verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Let me stop there for just a minute. You have to understand that Jairus was one of the rulers of the synagogue. He spent time and was around all the other religious leaders of that day. But there's something about desperation. There's something about being in that place where you know that only God can take care of the problem that you're dealing with. And so he was willing to risk criticism and all sorts of other ridicule. And he came to Jesus, he fell at his feet, and basically what he was doing is submitting himself to the word of God. Because remember, Jesus was the word become flesh, and he dwelt among us. And whenever we come to Jesus, and whenever we worship him, whenever we bow to him, whenever we come to him humbly, the Bible says that he's going to exalt the humble. He sought Jesus earnestly, saying, and he told him about his little daughter who was at the point of death. You see, no doubt he had heard about Jesus. He had heard that when Jesus taught the word and when Jesus laid his hands on people, that they were healed. And so the faith that came by his hearing about Jesus caused him to step out of the boat, so to speak, and seek Jesus. And so now that Jesus is saying, come on, and he went with him, and the Bible says that a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And then in verse 25, we have the divine, what I call the divine interruption. A woman which had a flow of blood or an issue of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather got worse. This is a lot of times the things of infirmities. One thing about an infirmity is it just seems to linger. It can get worse, but it just seems to linger and you just can't seem to get rid of it. Things like this issue of blood, things like allergies, things like this that will cause you to suffer, that you put up with it. But folks, you don't have to put up with sickness and disease because the Bible says that Jesus bore your griefs and carried your sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yet he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes were healed. And then in Matthew 8:17, we see that that scripture that we just spoke about in Isaiah 53 is fulfilled as Jesus went about healing. And then again in 1 Peter 2:24, where Peter talks about how our healing is in Jesus. And so she heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd. She touched his garment. Now, we know that she was ceremonially unclean and that it was appropriate for her to touch Jesus. But faith, friends, takes us from the inappropriate and brings us to a contact with Jesus. Look, she was willing to do something different. Peter, on the other hand, was willing to do something he was quite familiar with. And so here's a couple of different situations. But the difference was, faith is what drove them to do this. And it says here that she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt it in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched his clothes?" And of course, the disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging you and you're saying, 'Who touched me?'" So obviously they weren't focused on spiritual things here, but don't be too hard on them. They weren't born again yet. Their spirits weren't alive unto God. They were witnessing the Word working. Jesus was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Everything that Jesus did when he walked the earth is what the Word will do when the Word is in your heart and the Word is in your mouth. The same Word that comes off the printed page is alive when it's in your heart and when it's spoken by faith. Hallelujah. And he looked around to see her who'd done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, it's your faith that has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." So this whole time that Jesus is speaking to this woman, no doubt, Jairus is thinking, "Come on, Jesus, come on, let's get going. My daughter's really sick. Boy, I sure hope we get there in time. I sure hope we get there in time." Let me tell you something. In the spirit realm, there is no such thing as time. And we'll talk about that another day. So verse 35, while he was yet speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher any further." Sometimes it seems like there's absolutely nothing that can be done about the situation. But wait a minute. Jesus already said he was coming. The expectation here was that Jesus was going to go there and lay his hands on his daughter and that she would be well. Just like Mary and Martha were upset with Jesus that he hadn't come for 4 days to raise up Lazarus. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe." Believe what? Believe his word. Believe what Jesus said he would do. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, "Why are you making commotion and weeping? The child's not dead, but sleeping. So Jesus has made this declaration of faith. And of course, the people there, the professional mourners, or I'm sure there were some that were just mourning because they were grieving the loss of this child. Now think about it. Jairus has just heard that his little girl is dead. And Jairus is holding on to the words of Jesus. He's holding on to that fact. And so Jesus speaks his faith-filled word and says, the child's not dead, but sleeping. Verse 40, and they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, I'm going to stop right here and I want to share something with you. There's a time when you want people around to agree in prayer. And there's a time when you have to put people outside. I like when the Holy Ghost puts on my heart to go somewhere to pray for the sick or to pray for somebody for a particular reason. Oftentimes, I do it alone. Because, quite frankly, doubt and unbelief are rampant. Even in the lives of precious saints. Love God with their whole heart, but are ignorant concerning the things of faith. And so, I can tell you that they ridiculed him, and he put them all outside. No doubt they're saying, what's the matter with you? I heard you do miracles, but don't you know this girl's dead? But God set them up for a miracle. Just like God's setting you up for a miracle. And your miracle begins with the Word of God. And the Word of God is in your heart. And once it's in your heart and gets in your mouth, your faith is operating the way God designed it to. He took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Now, understand something, that for a little child, this is a little child, not reached an age of accountability yet for their own faith, the mother and fathers have spiritual authority, just like you, mothers and fathers, has spiritual authority over your children. And so he brought them in there. Because Jesus is a God of righteousness and he can't go against his word. God will never usurp anyone's will. And so the father and the mother are now in there. And he took the child by the hand. Well, in order to take the child by the hand, you have to put your hand on him, right? Then he took the child by the hand and said, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Notice Jesus didn't go down into a 4 or 5 hour praying in tongues and the Spirit and all sorts of other things. Listen, the time for praying in the Spirit and the time for getting yourself built up in faith is before you go to pray for the sick, not when you get there. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you turned into the broadcast today? You need to be prepared spiritually. Jesus was the Word. And the Word was manifest. His soul, his mind, his will, his emotions, his intellect were all submitted to the Spirit man and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's not to say Jesus didn't have to deal with his flesh. All it has to say is that Jesus did deal with his flesh. And it says here, immediately the girl arose and walked. For she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Now, what would have happened at this healing miracle if for some reason Jairus had stopped and said, yeah, listen, Jesus, don't bother coming because I've heard she's dead. Thank you. Appreciate your willingness to come. And they didn't go there. But Jesus told them to not fear, but believe. Jesus works with us and helps us. And by his Spirit wants to lead us to that place where we can receive the miracle of God. And so, I have a question for you today. Have you ever started out in faith and then decided maybe it was too late and allowed fear to get you? It's one of the big tactics of the devil. You know, often we try to set our own timelines of how quick things are going to happen or this or that. Can I tell you something? The Word of God is not limited to natural things and is certainly not limited to time. Jesus, when he gives his word on something, heaven or hell is not going to stop that word from coming to pass if it's believed and acted upon. When do you give in to fear? When do you give in to despair? Simple answer, never. Never give in to fear. Never get into despair. You know, I remember what Brother Copeland had said one time. He says, you know, sometimes you got to just make yourself do those things that you fear. Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. You know, when you become born again, you no longer have a fearful nature. You've become a new creature in Christ. You now have the love nature. Where does fear come from? It no longer comes from the inside. It comes from the outside. It's a spirit, and it comes from the outside, which means it can be resisted. And the easiest way to resist fear is to know God, to know the love of God, to know that no matter what this thought is that comes to your mind, you know, the what ifs. Do you ever have a case of the what ifs working in your life? Well, what if God doesn't do it? What if the money doesn't come in? What if the doctor says it's cancer? See, faith doesn't depend on what other people tell you. Faith only depends on what God's word says. And the very faith that you need to believe the word of God you've heard is contained within the word itself. Notice, when you take a watermelon, of course nowadays most of the watermelons are seedless, but when I was a kid there were plenty of watermelons that had lots of seeds in it. And one thing I've always noticed is that if I open a watermelon, I'm going to see a lot of watermelon seeds. You're not going to find corn seeds in a watermelon. You're not going to find grape seeds in a watermelon because contained within the watermelon is the very seed itself. Contained within the promise of God is the very seed that you need to receive your miracle from God. Is God setting you up for a miracle? Absolutely. God not only wants to work a miracle in you, but God also wants to use you to work miracles. Either way, you're going to be blessed because God wants to bless you. You know, I like, and I've said it before, that Oral Roberts popularized the phrase that God is a good God. And a lot of preachers did everything they could to try to dispute it. But the truth of the matter is, you can't read the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to minister to you and not understand the goodness of God. Well, we're just about running out of time today, so I'm going to stop the message and we'll come back to you next week with another fresh word from heaven. And I really hope and I really pray that the message that you heard today was touched your heart and that you can understand truly through the scriptures that God is setting you up for a miracle. God will do the same things for you that he's done for everybody else. You remember the leper came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you want to, you can heal me. In the Kenneth Weiss translation, it could be translated better. Lord, if you're having a heartfelt desire, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I'm desiring it with all my heart. And the leper received his healing. Well, if this particular message has been a blessing to you, would you go to our website at churchoftheharvestpahokee.com? churchoftheharvestpahokee.com. Pahokee is spelled P-A-H-O-K-E-E, or write to us at Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. That's Church of the Harvest, P.O. Box 183, Pahokee, Florida, 33476. Have a blessed week.
It's Rick Gentry. You've been listening to Pastor Richard Idarosa today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, please contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. We sure appreciate all your support. Thank you very much.